You'd open your Bibles to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. It was a difficult message this morning, at least for me it was. And last Lord's Day was also somewhat difficult. Why do bad things happen? That was one reason why I thought it appropriate and necessary to have a message on praise and thanks to God. And I have here two blankets. Not because it's cold in here, but because they mean something to me. And they are the second reason why I thought it appropriate and necessary to have a service of praise and thanksgiving to God. If you look in Psalm 115, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them." They that make these idols are like the idols. Worthless, dumb, unable to do. So is everyone that trusts in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And then the shortest Psalm, 117, probably just across the page, or maybe a short scroll on your phone. Psalm 117. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Last year, on this day, about 10:45, it was a Saturday morning, I had gotten my to-do list together. I was planning to get to probably the minivan and go do errands when the house phone rang. We had caller ID. I looked at the caller ID. It said Meridian, Idaho, but I did not recognize the number. So I waited to let the answer machine pick it up. I heard, "Chris, this is Martha." So I picked up, wondering about the number. The voice sounded much deeper than my wife's. The voice on the other end said, "I've had an accident and I've rolled the van." I said, "Is this Martha?" "Yes, this is Martha." I said, "Is this Martha Best?" "Yes, this is Martha Best, your husband." And my wife, thank you. Your wife. And see how confused I was? And I asked, then it started to sink in. Okay, You rolled the van. She said, yes. I said, are you hurt? She said, I'm okay. Maggie's okay. Julianne's okay. But Carolina is hurt bad. It occurred on the interstate near Burley, Idaho. Our two oldest girls were up north in the mountains sledding with some other young people. The kids that were home, I called together, and we prayed. And as much... Martha had to get off the phone. She said, I have to get off the phone. I'm borrowing somebody's cell phone. And I have to get off the phone because I think they said the ambulance was there. Or just arrived or something. I called the kids together, and we prayed. And as much as I did not want to, I thanked God for the accident. Peace from the conviction in your soul born out of the Word of God that God is loving, that He is all wise, that He is almighty, and that He is worthy of all my trust, especially when I don't understand. That peace took hold of my heart. And He gave me grace to trust in Him even more. And that prayer of a year ago, a year and about 8 hours ago, was very similar to how I prayed about 8 years prior to that. It was a Sunday evening, about 5 o'clock, and my wife was 29 weeks. Okay, for those of us who don't remember or don't know, 40 is full term on a pregnancy, 40 weeks. And we're 28 to 29 weeks. And we had to call an ambulance because Martha was gushing blood and had passed out. And when I tried to get into the ambulance with my wife, the guy said, no, you can't ride with her. You need to take your own car. I said, why? He said, because you'll need it to get home from the hospital. And my thoughts were, yeah, right. My wife is going to die. You don't want me in there with her. And as I was driving that Sunday evening to the hospital in my own car, I remember calling my in-laws, asking them to pray. I remember calling my sister, because my mother is hard of hearing on the phone. I didn't want it to get messed up. Called my sister in Ohio and asked her to spread the news to my side of the family and to those who were saved to pray. And I remember driving there thinking, my baby is dead. My wife might be dead by the time I get to the hospital. We have, 8 children. Lord, how could I make it with 8 children and no wife? And the thought came to me, God is good. God is almighty. If He brought this into my life, He will somehow give me the grace to carry on. And that peace came. Now, obviously, you can see my wife and Hudson are both here. And the Lord was very, very gracious to me. And I want to praise Him. Somewhere along the line, we thank the Lord. I'm pretty sure we thank the Lord for Martha's emergency C-section and for Hudson, and even with his, it might be too personal for Hudson, but for the Lord blessing us with Hudson and spending the 1 month in NICU as he did. But back to last year, I called Pastor Jeff. He came over. He and Isaac were manning Pastor Jeff's cell phone, Isaac's cell phone, and the house phone. I was waiting for another call from Martha and just sending out emails as I got any news asking people to pray. I asked Martha later for a description of the accident. My mother-in-law had knee replacement surgery about a week before. Martha and Maggie, and Juliana, and Carlina, and Katharina, drove to Salt Lake, and Martha dropped off Katie. Katie was going to stay there a few days to help Grandma as she was recovering from her knee surgery. She was on her way back. And, you know, 75, the speed limit was 80. Martha was doing about 75. And over a canal, there was black ice, hit the black ice, spun around. And according to the truck drivers, rolled at least four times. He thinks first time was end over end, then sideways, barrel roll. When the van came to stop, it was upright. And she prayed. She saw Carlina was in the front seat. There was no airbag on our old van, that side. The airbag in front of Martha did not go off. Juliana and Maggie were in car seats in the bench right behind us, the middle bench. And Carlina was folded over and unresponsive. Juliana was crying softly in the back. Maggie said, "Mama, what happened?" Martha knew they were okay. Martha couldn't really move because she was so whiplashed and beat against the side window. But Carlina was flopped over this way. And she called for Carlina. No response. Called again. No response. Panic began to build. Martha said, "Lord, I need help." And she reached and pushed Carlina back. Carlina's, as you expect, an accident, bloody. And at that moment, the truck driver who had stopped said, "Is everybody okay in there?" Martha said, "I'm okay. Kids in the back are okay, but my daughter's not." He reached in through the missing window and grabbed her head, neck, and tilted it up, and she began to breathe shortly thereafter. And he held it, and he said, according to Martha at that time, "Trust me, I used to be an EMT or I used to be a paramedic." Later, when I spoke to him, he said, "No, I was never an EMT. I was never a paramedic." But he did exactly right. He held her neck straight. People tried to say, "We need to get her out." He said, "No, I'm not moving. Not till the ambulance gets here." And after a bit, they got the other kids out and wrapped them in blankets because it was cold. So we got this from a truck driver. Wrap it around either Juliana or Maggie. Same with the other one. That's the connection there. The Nix brothers, two of them anyway, Gary and Jim. Gary in Wyoming and Jim was from Montana. They just happened to be in the Twin Falls area, about 30 miles away. And I don't know how they heard, but they heard, and Jim called me and said, "We're heading to Burley. We got a trailer to pick up your car. Is there any minivan? Is there anything we can do?" I said, "They're going to the hospital, I guess. You can go there." There's a pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Burley, Robert Humphreys, who just the year before spoke at our Valentine banquet. And so Martha, I knew him previous, but Martha knew him. He called, and he went to the hospital. Later, he went to the crash site and retrieved some things, including Carlina's eyeglasses. Jim and Gary Nix also went to the hospital. They took two ambulances to take the four of them to the hospital. They decided to life flight Carlina, not to Primary Children's in Salt Lake, but to St. Al's Trauma Center in Boise, because we lived there. And it wasn't a helicopter, it was a fixed-wing airplane. And Jim asked, "Well, can you take Mom and the sisters too?" And they agreed, and so we didn't even have to drive to Burley, the 2.5 hours or so to Burley to get them. They all flew together, and it was that was a great blessing. Carlina was moving during the flight, so they had to drug her to keep her from moving because they weren't sure of her injuries. When she got to the trauma center, her vitals were pretty good. I remember seeing her as all they were working on her, and Martha and I were kind of standing off in the background. I remember meeting the neurosurgeon, Ronald Jutze, Dr. Ronald Jutze, old school. Okay, he graduated before they even had pediatric neurosurgery. There's two neurosurgeons in Boise. All right, Jutze, and I forget the other guy because I don't know if I ever met him, the younger guy, Dr. Cherney and Dr. Jutze. Praise the Lord that Dr. Jutze was on call that day, because now Carlina was his patient, and he was calling the shots. And he, against all protocol, against everything written in the textbooks, said, "No, we're not." Here's what happened was, she had what's called a hangman's fracture. During the shaking around. She is in her seatbelt. Right. She got thrown forward, and Dr. Jutsi said, just 1 month ago, an 18-year-old of one of my colleagues was in the same accident and died instantly because it was that force of throwing forward their head, just like a hangman. It snaps the spinal cord. Said she had that, but she didn't die. Her spinal cord was stretched about an inch. The skull, there's three vertebrae, C1, C2, and C3. All those were stretched out. The ligaments were stretched. And the brainstem was torn. Dr. Jutsi, against everything the book said, everything that other doctors said, he said, we're not going to perform surgery to put a plate in her skull and fuse those vertebrae together. He said, at that time she was 9. He said, she's 9 years old. God loves children. God will heal her. And we will wait. And if it, we'll wait and let her body, let God heal her body. And if he doesn't, we can always do the surgery 6 months from now. We just have to keep her safe until then. And the hospital kicked against that. The other doctors, and he was corresponding with about 100 neurosurgeons across the country, and they were split. About 60-40, 60% said, you need to fuse her. That is safe. That's conservative. So what? She won't be able to move her neck the rest of her life. She will live. And he said, no. God loves little children. He will heal her and will give this 9-year-old a chance to turn her head and look up and down rather than looking like this for the rest of her life. And I have this. Never had one before. This is an Anglican catechism to be a Christian. Because Dr. Jutsi was an Anglican deacon. This was a Saturday it happened. Sunday, we're waiting for him. And I asked the nurse, when's he coming in? Oh, he always goes to church. He'll be here after church. And he came in, and he had a collar and black shirt and a big cross. Not a crucifix. I thought, well, he's not Catholic, so I'm thinking it must be Episcopalian. I asked him, he said, no, I'm an Anglican deacon. And he gave us this. Presented by Ronald Jutsi on the occasion of Carlina's healing, January 22nd, 2015. Okay. Well, it's 5 days after the accident, he presented us with this. On the occasion of Carlina's healing, he had great faith. Carlina spent, you know, we had MRIs, x-rays, CAT scans, and so forth. And we had the church family there at our church fellowship. Was marvelous beyond belief. But later blessings are answers to prayer. Ways that God showed his goodness to us. We left Katie in Salt Lake City. If it had occurred on the way there, Katie would have been sitting in the front seat. Katie would have died. Because he said, Carlina, for those who don't know, and most of you probably don't, she was born full breech, you know, bottom first or her feet up around her head. She was born that way. She's always been very flexible. Okay? And the doctor said, young children flex, older children don't. Katharina, had she been there, she would have died. Martha had dropped her off. It was on a return trip. Olivia thought about going. We almost decided to go. At the last minute, she said, no, she's not going to go. She would have been in the front seat. If it had been her, she too would have died. Okay. And the neurosurgeon, Dr. Jutsi's decision to go against the flow and wait and see if those ligaments will heal. He found one old study, about 20 years old, UCLA, that said children under 12 or under 10, we debate that, Martha and I say 12, she says 10, but under 12, their ligaments do heal. Beyond that, they don't. So if Carlina had lived and been older, she would have been fused. But he decided to wait. He said there was one study that showed that out of 140, only 4 needed fusing with similar upper neck injuries. But there still was the brainstem tear. And he showed us on the MRIs. I couldn't really see it. But he was pointing out right here. It's like, I thought I saw something, but I'm not trained that way. He said if it was 1/8 of an inch higher or lower, it would have affected her breathing and her heart, and she would have died then. But it affected her speech. and speech and swallowing was from where it was. So she spent 26 days in the hospital, 9 of those in ICU. She was placed in a halo. She was in a halo for 3 months, and she's still with us. Now, at the scene of the accident, waiting for the ambulance, Gary, the truck driver, and another guy who used to drive trucks said, the amazing thing is that he stopped, because truck drivers are instructed, never stop unless you legally have to, because truck drivers are on a schedule. And he was on the other side. Martha was heading west, he was heading east. And so he had to stop his truck, cross traffic. He was the first one there. He was holding her neck. And Martha, trying to answer Maggie and Juliana's question, what happened? And Carlene's there, what are they doing? What are all these men here for? And Martha said that Carlina might be going to see Jesus. And if God takes her to see Jesus, God is good and doing a very good thing for her. Most of you know Bob and Ann Harris. Okay. When Ann got cancer, she welcomed it. Said, and if you called her cell phone, the message on her cell phone in her North Carolina dialect, hello, this is Ann Harris. I want you to know that my precious Jesus has given me, allowed me to have cancer, and this cancer is going to speed me to heaven. I'm going to get to see his face any day now. Do you know Jesus? Jesus is the Savior. And she gave the plan of salvation. That was how she viewed it. And after she left, I remember Bob saying to me, you know, we Christians have the wrong view of death. What Christian wouldn't want to die and go to heaven? Certainly no Christian who was in love with Jesus. And so Martha said, girls, God might be taking Carlina to see Jesus. And if he does, it's a good thing for Carlina. Now, she's here with us. God had a good thing for us. Not necessarily for her yet. Other blessings. We were loaned a car. We were given tremendous financial gifts. We had insurance. Anybody who complains about insurance is lucky because they haven't had to use it. Okay, or is blessed because they hadn't had to use it. Isaac was home from college. He was working because he was out of money. He had no job at this time, and so he was able to help us, to drive us back and forth up to the hospital. The older kids were great at helping out. We had folks come into our house to homeschool to keep the things running. I was still working in school. I took the first week off, and then I had to go back. And so other people were helping out. Meals, lots and lots of meals, and were brought. And Carlina's spirits were good almost the entire time. Even when she couldn't speak, even when she was, you know, in the halo. Now, she didn't like, I'll tell you about the halo, but she didn't like the pressure of the halo being in there. But she was able, Hudson's birth introduced us to a doctor. I'll just call her Jeanette. A pediatrician. Later, we were able to get to know her, have her and her daughter to our house for Thanksgiving and such, and to witness to her with Hudson's birth. 8 years later, I'm sorry, when was Maggie born? She's 4, so 4 years ago. So 4 years after Hudson, we had Maggie. Martha was sick with an infection. Was in the hospital 2 days after Maggie's delivery. And when we got out, it was obvious Maggie had some kind of infection all over her skin, nasty looking thing. Took it to our pediatrician, Jeanette. Jeanette is talk. And when she saw Maggie, complete change. Suddenly it was all business. You could see her calculating her mind. Takes out her cell phone, dials up pediatric infectious disease specialist, whatever, and says, you know, this is so-and-so. I have a patient. You need to see her this afternoon. I'll get her right over. But she was born with group B strep. Group B strep is fatal in a third of the cases, or two-thirds, one-third or two-thirds. All right. Praise the Lord. She didn't have it internally. She just had it on her external. And again, while Martha was in the hospital, Martha was able to witness to Jeanette, the doctor. 3 years after Maggie was this accident. Now, she was no longer a pediatrician because she moved her practice further away. But doctors have ways of finding these things out. They can get in and look at. So she heard about it and she showed up. And while she and Martha were talking, Carlina was listening to a song. The song is, "It Is Not Death to Die." And while they're listening, it was, you know, quiet. At the end of the song, Carlina said, and her vocal cords were damaged, and so in her whisper, "I used to wonder about that song, but now I understand what death is like, what it's about." And this doctor said, "Those are two serious thoughts for a 9-year-old. And Martha was able again to witness to her. So pray for Jeanette. She believes in Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. Martha had bruises, whiplash, fractured rib. She still hasn't felt right since the last year. And God certainly showed me his goodness and grace in allowing her to stay with me longer. Maggie had some bruises. Juliana had bruises and mild whiplash. All right, 75 miles an hour, and there were no other vehicles involved. We were given one car as a replacement that Lincoln Continental was given to us, and we were given a gift from a church in Twin Falls where I previously was serving, money, check to buy the Honda minivan. Right. The Lord just blessed, and we were able to meet many folks and witness to them, hopefully have an impact on them for the cause of Christ. The truck driver, Gary, who stopped. We were able to meet him because he drove through I-84 in Boise fairly often. We were able to meet him once, talked to him on the phone several times, was able to witness to him on the phone and give him gospel track. His wife, named Chris, they lived in Wichita. In God's providence, the lady who lives next door to them is an adopted aunt of Wally Higgins' daughter. Cheryl, we know Cheryl, and she in conversing with her aunt or sending emails, said, "I think that guy lives right next to me." So she went over and she said, "I have tried to witness to them, but Chris, the wife, very close to the gospel." Well, Gary was in trouble with his trucking company because he was several hours late, because after the accident and the ambulances left, he drove a little further, had to pull over, and he said he just sat for 3 to 4 hours, processing all of what had just happened. His wife was upset with him because he's in trouble again. And he said, "When I looked at Carlina," he didn't know her name, "when I looked at her, she looked like my daughter." And we, through the accident report, got his address, and we sent them a picture of Carlina. And when Gary was out on the road trucking, and Chris opened it up, saw the picture, she dropped it because Carlina looks so much, same age, similar features as their daughter. And the Lord used this, that somewhere shortly thereafter, Chris, the trucker's wife, got saved. And Cheryl, through her aunt, who's next door neighbor, let us know about it. Now, would God allow all that to happen to impact one person for salvation? I think so. There were many people who prayed for us, who sent cards, gifts, who blessed us in various ways. We were able to meet with many medical personnel of all varieties and capacities. And through it all, I wanted to give honor and glory to the one who gave himself for me. Jesus Christ loved me. He paid my sin debt in full. He gave me his righteousness. I don't need to do anything to become worthy because Christ made me worthy. I don't have to strive to be righteous. Christ gave me his righteousness. He justified and he sanctified me all by his own good will and grace. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I am complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers, in Colossians chapter 2. Jesus has also done that for many of you. He'll do that for anyone who come to him in trust. Now, I didn't mention, and I'll just mention it, but when Katie was 5 years old, she had a burst appendix. We almost lost her. Dr. Curlew was the one who performed the surgery. We met Dr. Curlew with Carlina. It's like, I remember you. And he's the only pediatric abdominal specialist, whatever. He's the only one in Boise who does burst appendix on kids. And Katharina was in the hospital for 6 days and got out on Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. And the Lord has been good to us. And he does give a peace that passes all understanding. There's no way I can describe it. All I can say is I've talked to people who've had the same thing, and they say, yeah, you can't describe it, but it's very definite, very real. And I saw Tad had to leave. I was going to ask him. So I'll ask you. If you'd like to, Cassie, give public testimony about how the Lord has blessed with Tad.
Well, the many, many ways that Tad has been 3.5 months for surgery. The doctor's predictions when he went to the hospital were that he may be in some bad, but probably have to think about redoing the house since your bedroom's upstairs. He had physical therapy in the hospital, and he couldn't. They have 3 steps, and he couldn't get up them. It took all his strength to get to one, and we described our stairs as being much steeper than normal, and said probably we'll have to do that. And we can do just about anything. He doesn't walk without a limp, and he's not as strong, but he's getting more strength all the time, and there's very little that he can't do. He wants to do it. God has just miraculously worked in his body and healed him. When we were in the hospital and we were home shortly thereafter, we didn't know if he would still be employed. We didn't know if he would still be able to be in the bar. We didn't have any answers to any of that. I started brushing up my resume a little bit, thinking about God just needing to go to work full time and provide. And maybe that was his plan for us at that point. He started working on those things. But at this point, Tad had an appointment last Wednesday, and the doctor okayed him to be back to pretty much full duty. For safety reasons, at this point, he's not in direct contact with inmates or people who prove to be dangerous to him. As his strength rebuilds, then that will change too. He's not limited, really, in what he can do. And as you guys know, he's moved into a chaplain's assistant position, which is something we've been praying about for a few years. And the reality is that he probably can perform his duties in that. He's still going through the process right now with paperwork and profiles and lots of things that are involved with that. But there's a very good chance that he'll be able to stay in and finish out his career that way. And my dad rushed home and made plans to go ramp up to their house so he could still get in their house, and started designing how we could put an addition on the back of our house with a ramp up to our bedroom. God has been very, very good to us. I think we all as a family have learned a lot about trusting him. Through this, we couldn't see the future at all. Now we still have questions about the future to a certain degree. We just don't know everything, but we know that God really cares about us and that he's got it figured out. So even if we don't know everything right now, we know that God does. And I think that each one of us can say that we have grown closer to God and closer to each other. Learned a lot about trusting him.
At this time, I'd like to ask Barb Hartwick if she would like to give her testimony of salvation. Barb and then Mary Borgeson have asked to become members, and so this, you can. Why would you stand? Just so people can hear, because it's good to hear folks' testimony, and yeah, don't worry about being scared.
Have you ever tried to get 85 years old? I know at the age of 12, I went forward in the church that my family went to. It was a Methodist church. And I was very active in that church all through high school and so forth. Now, fast forward 40 years, and I am here in Pinedale. And because of my son asking me several times to go to church, I started attending the First Baptist Church here in Pinedale. And one day, while he was preaching, I suddenly realized I hadn't been baptized right. Methodist only sprinkled. And so I went forward when he invited us up, and I got myself baptized, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and asked him to come into my life again and be my Lord and Savior. He's the reason I'm really back here in Pinedale. When I even gave the hint that I wanted to move, he saw to it. Everything fell in. And everybody volunteered. I know he was in my car, and he was in the truck that was hauling my furniture. My darn often back there was driving it. He got us here without any scratches, without any accidents. And within 2 hours, I was moved into my apartment, and to this day, still think, I am here again. I am here. And this is home. And I'm just thrilled to be back. And I know the Lord is the one that did it.
And just to be clear, because what you told me this morning, you yes. Kind of forgot something.
I know I am saved. And if I turn my heart over again to him, I know I am saved. I know that I have been baptized properly this time, and that I know I will be in heaven with the Lord and with Jesus someday. Not in my hope, but he'll be finding this soon.
Yeah. Thank you. Remember Spencer and Mrs. Spencer, Becky, thank you. Probably they're landed now. I think they were supposed to take off from Jackson about 2 o'clock this afternoon. But I failed to mention this morning that pray for their safety in traveling. Spencer's grandmother earlier last week said, "I am ready to go." And then very unexpectedly, she fell, bleeding on the brain, and that's the vehicle that the Lord used to take her to heaven. Just on Friday, I believe it was. So we never.
Yeah.
It's not just old folks. The probability is higher, but it's not just old folks. Okay. And Mary, would you like to give your testimony?
Just kind of come around the corner. I came from a Christian family. My grandparents, my parents, my great-grandparents, and I've discovered that it was on far back. My dad impressed upon me that you can't go through life without holding Christ's hand. There is no life. It's a must. And you absorb this all the years of your life. I was raised, I was a drug child. I came to church every time the doors were open. I went to every camp there was. My parents made sure that I got the education. I went through the baptismal class that our church in Pampa, Texas had. First year, it must not have taken because it didn't do anything to me. The second year, I'm sitting there on Easter morning, and I told my mother, I have to go down today. I have to go down. It was up to me, but I had to go. I felt like I had to get up there and run down there real quick so everybody knew. I'm Jesus. He's mine. I want him for my Lord and Savior. I credit my parents. They raised from then on. I was still active, and I wish I could say I was a perfect Christian, but I can't. I failed many times, and Jesus is still there. He may hit me with a 2x4 at times, but he's still there. And we moved up here in 2000. In 2000, the night before the election that year in November, about 6 o'clock in the evening, when we know hardly anyone in this town, I get a call that my oldest son, was involved in a shooting accident with his brother in Nebraska hunting. And you're on your knees. All you do is pray. God's got to take care of it. And everything that could go wrong, including a snowstorm, kept us from getting there right away, slowed us down, and I'm sure afterwards I can see God slowed us down because we had no business driving in the state we were in. We were both very nervous, so we stopped. We're off the road in Laramie. That night we're sitting there, we said, you know what? God just wants us to try to get a few hours sleep before we try this again. You still can't call. I found out you cannot call long distance to an ICU and get any information. It's not going to happen. We arrive in Lincoln, Nebraska, go up to ICU, and there's laughter. So they let us in the room. There's too many people in the room that they let us go in anyway. My son was shot in the face with a shotgun. It missed one eye's optic nerve by a quarter of an inch. It took out the other one. And he said to me, you know, Mom, God must have something for a one-eyed person to do. It's okay. And when I twirled to the ground, I remember looking at my hands and they were bloody. And I said, well, I know I'm going to heaven, so I'm okay. If I don't go to heaven, if I do go to heaven, God will take care of my family. If I don't go to heaven, he'll take care of me, so it's okay. The next thing he asked is, Mom, there's a lady in the waiting room who has no one to sit with her. Would you? And this is hard. I want to love you. I want to be with you. This lady's husband was teaching his granddaughter to drive. She had an accident. Killed her, put him in a coma. And this woman's alone. So the next, we were there 5 days. For 5 days, we took turns going to stay with her. She had no one. She'd come down the room with us. And we had trouble for giggling because my son was so ecstatic. He did lose the sight of one eye. But he said, and he had babies. The good things were, they were lead. If they'd been steel, he couldn't have gone through anything electronic because it would have moved. So there were, it just seems like God touched everything for us. When we came home, 2004, I've always been active in churches here and done things. But in 2004, a case of stupid came over me. June 10th, 2004, in the middle of a snowstorm, I went upon the roof of the house. I'd done it all winter, no big deal. Except for the fact that when it's summer, you can come off that roof awfully fast. And I shot off it. I crushed one foot, I broke another heel, and I crushed bones in my hand and my wrist. And I'm laying there. And the only thing I could do is lay there and say, boy, Lord, I'm in stuff. are reading this stuff. And I can't handle it. And my dad had a nickname for me. And I heard my name called Mary Gal, which only my daddy used. It's okay, we've got this. I never went into shock. And I can tell you about the ambulance service. It was an hour and a half before they got me anywhere. They were a little slow. They kept going to the wrong place. I never went into shock. And it was an hour and a half to maybe 2 hours later, I was in the emergency room. They had taken a few x-rays. They decided they cannot do anything for me in my day. They're going to take me to Jackson. I just wanted my fluffy splints back on, which were pillows. I really hadn't started hurting until my muscles tremor. And then you hurt. And Barb Harper was standing by me, and she said, maybe we better get you more medication. I hadn't had any at that time. The first I got was just before they put me back in the ambulance. We met with Heidi Oates the next morning that I can remember. And she came in and gave us doomsday. I will probably never walk well again. I will always use a cane. They didn't know if they'd get the movement back in my hand. After she left, Van Graham, who was pastoring at Wind River, walked in the door. He said, it's okay. God's got this. You don't have to worry. After him, Eric Morenzik walked in the door. You don't have to worry. God's got this. So we kind of chill out a little bit. We're going to figure this out. I went through two surgeries. The first surgery was 2 days. They made me leave the hospital, which is a lot of fun with somebody whose feet have to be higher than their nose. I had to leave the hospital. I had surgery on Monday. We had to go back up and get you in the car as the other tree. I had to go back up on Monday at 6 o'clock for more surgery. I had a lady come over who was a friend, and she said, here's some tapes of the Bible. Asked the nurses, I was going to stay 23 hours, is all the insurance would let me stay in the hospital. Have the ladies put it in the VCR. So all the time during my recovery, I had the word in the room with me. I remember waking up once. I cannot take much pain pills. I'm so susceptible. It puts me too far down. I remember waking up and thinking, I can't make it. I hurt so bad, and there wasn't anything else they could give me. And I said, God, I gotta have a minute, or just a minute without pain. Next thing I know, it's 4 hours. So I got more than a minute. God is good. He was right, and even when you're stupid, He's good to you. And I wish I could say, I mean, it's been easy, but it hasn't, but He's been there all along. And we can laugh about some things now. We couldn't then. But it works. I was in a Bible study class one time, and they told us to look up your birth scriptures, which they call, look up your month. Mine's March 8th. So I went to every chapter in the Bible and looked up March 8th. It's amazing how many apply to me. I mean, there's a lot more in the Bible than those did. My favorite at this time of my life is 1 Thessalonians 3:8. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. And that is, it's great. And all I can say about my life, I'm 70, I admit it. God's got something exciting for me to do, and I don't know what it is, and I wish you could hurry up and tell me, but patience I have to have. The Gatlin brothers have a song on. And in it it says, I am greatly blessed, highly favored, imperfect, but forgiven, child of God. What more do I need?
Would anybody else? Anybody else like to give public thanks and praise? Not for membership, but to give thanks to the Lord. Remember, I said come prepared. Yes, Cass.
Well, Sarah and I met with Terry today, and she asked us if there was time to share the praise to share with people that just a couple days ago, she and Joe had been talking about how
off today, and it was a adult coloring book and cord that fell down. She just said it was very special and obviously from God, and she wanted us to share that.
Thank you. Amen. Anybody else?
I've had to get grace about Anne Grace from her beginning to now. It's a miracle after miracle. Just have that mercy. And her name to us, we had named her before she was born, means the answer of grace. We knew God kept her and gave her to us, that was his answer.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else like to, anybody want to make a public announcement, how the Lord's blessing them? Something that's kind of already public, but I found out about just this afternoon. Yes, Phil.
God has given us faith, and we are new, no lie. And we surprised us and we will not.
Okay. So usually the pastor is the last one to know things, and so I don't know if I was, but due in July. Now, like how he did not say the Lord is going to give us a baby. God has given us a baby. Like how he phrased that in July. And you can look through the Bible and find many places where it says he blessed them with children. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply. You will never find anywhere in the Bible where it says he cursed them and gave them a child. Never. Right? Everywhere in the scriptures, children are spoken of as a blessing. Anybody else? If you turn to Psalm 103. One of the songs we sang tonight, was based on this psalm. If you looked in the upper left-hand of that song, I don't remember which one it was now. I think it was the third one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then David lists some of those benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Maybe in this life, but most definitely in his presence. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I'll read that again. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For because he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his commandments, and to those that remember his commandments, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want us to sing two scripture songs. Hopefully you know them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy 1, 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In Revelation 4, 11. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. And I'll ask Phil Loftus if he'd dismiss us in prayer.
God, thank you for receiving, for being a God who loves us, Lord, a God who desires to know, a God who so far, beyond us, Lord, we can't completely understand how you, but still offer salvation to us, and still offer a relationship with you to us, God. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have initiated that with us. Lord, thank you for being our Lord and Savior, and desiring to spare us for eternal punishment that we deserve with our hearts of the earth. And God, thank you for all the blessings that you have. Just give us our lives, Lord, thank you for giving you life. And God, I pray that we'll not take that for granted. And Lord, I pray that we will see you for good and bad. Lord, we'll see you in life and death. And God, thank you for being God who's always trustworthy. God who's always faithful. Lord, thank you for having the power to give us peace in any circumstance. God, please help us to believe that. Only if you are enough, that you are sufficient. And that having faith in you, Lord, is the answer. That going through life with you. Anyway, we're supposed to be like that.